only Brother McLean and Mr. McLean are up here where they can catch the first train. He works with the railroads, so he knows about catching that first train. And so y'all are gonna be in the caboose when the Lord comes, sitting on the back there. But that's all right; you'll still make it. But seriously, I want to just take a little time. We haven't really started another series yet on Wednesday because all the other goings on we've been having. So I just wanted to take a standalone message tonight and spend a few minutes with what happens when we backslide. And all of us have that happen to us from time to time in the course of our walk with the Lord over the years. If you've been saved very long, you can come to the place where you get a little bit lukewarm. And that's really what the term to backslide means. It means sliding back from the position that you really should be in. It was what the Apostle Paul was referring to in the book of Hebrews when he said, look to the recipients of the book of Hebrews. He said, look, many of you are still babes. You're still on the milk of the word. You're still, or you've gone back to this very basic position. And he said, you should be moving on and growing and going forward, and you've slid back, you've gotten yourselves in a place where you're behind where you should be. So, and in our walk with the Lord, you know, we ought to be progressing, like the allegory of Pilgrim's Progress. He's progressing all along the course of his way to the golden gates, to the golden city, and to the pearly gates. And at times he gets off the track and sidetracked and backslidden and out of the place where he needs to be. And all of us have done that. All of us do that. All of us will do that if the Lord tarries. There isn't anyone that can really boast that they've never been in the position where they're not really all out and on fire for the Lord all the time. So we won't be that all the time either, but we ought to be at least making progress in our walk with the Lord and moving forward as we head down the journey of life. So when we're not doing that, we can soon slip into the position of the backslider. So it is a biblical term. Start with Proverbs 14 and 14. Let's go there first. Proverbs 14 and 14. It is a biblical term. And so we see it here in the 14th chapter of Proverbs and verse 14. And it says here, note this, there's two parts to this verse. The first part, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And so there's a lot of things there that you see. There's two things you see right away. And the one is that the backsliding doesn't begin with the outward actions. Where does it begin? In the heart. Yeah, it begins with the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so much the Bible says about the condition of our heart. And so he says concerning the backslider, it began in his heart. It began with an attitude, a spirit, just a sense that wasn't right in his heart. It began there with a heart problem. And we Christians certainly have our share of heart problems. We believers from time to time need what John Whitefield physically had to go through. He had to have an opening up of some arteries so the flow of the blood would get going like it needs to. And spiritually speaking, we need some heart surgery from time to time. Get our heart back where it needs to be with the Lord. So the backslider in heart, starts with the heart, shall be filled with his own ways. That's the other part I want you to focus on there. Notice is that when we backslide, our concern is always about our own ways. We want to be filled with our own ways. The Bible says a great deal about that, doesn't it? About that self-will of ours and having our own way. The world preaches that as the right way. Have it your way. You know, I did it my way. I want my own way, my rights, you know. And so we have certainly that message being taught and preached by a carnal world. Yet we Christians can get to that same place where backslidden, we have to have it our way. He's filled with his own ways. And certainly a good study would be sometime for you to look up the word way in your Bible and see. There's a great series of messages that you could put together on just the word way. You know, the people of the book were called people of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way," and certainly a lot about the way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of what? Ways of death. Yeah. Seemeth right. There's a way which seemeth right, but the ends are over the ways of death. So the Bible said a lot about the way, and when we have our own way, that is going to be contrary to God's way. So the backslider's filled with his own ways. In other words, he's getting the results of his own decisions, his own actions, his own attitude, his own direction in life. He's getting the results. We get the results of that. All of us have had times in our life we've regretted and wish we could go back, do a rewind on, do a do-over on those parts of our life that we weren't where we should be. We all have those, and those times where we were doing it our own way, and we got filled with our own way, and we got the results of our own way as well. So that's what he's talking about there. But he says that the second half is the encouraging part. But a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Do you see that? It didn't say a good man can be satisfied in himself. A good man's going to be satisfied of himself. It didn't say that. New versions might say that, but the right version, the correct version of the Bible, says a man be satisfied from himself. The idea there, the preposition there, is outside of himself. His satisfaction is not going to come from getting his own way. It's going to come from that which is outside of himself, being a blessing, being a benefit to those outside of himself, being concerned with what's outside of himself rather than just what's in himself, you know, and what's for himself. So that's the idea of the contrast there in that 14th verse. Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10, and let's take a look at ourselves here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 10. Who is he that overcometh the world? This is different from the backslider. Backslider is not overcoming the world, but who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear record on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And so we have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives and in ourselves. We have that aid to be overcomers, to overcome the world. So the backslider in heart is controlled by the world. The believer is overcoming the world. So you have that great contrast there, and what the source is of the influence in our heart. You have the world, or the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost bearing record of what we ought to be doing and where we ought to be going. The Father providing the source of all power, the Son providing the salvation and the grace that we need, and then the Holy Spirit of God giving the guidance and the direction to our life day by day. And so we have that going on. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. His word is not in us. So we have there the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God at work in this matter of keeping a Christian where he needs to be as he follows the Lord. You have the work of the Father, the Word of God. You have the work of the Son. You have the work of the Holy Spirit of God. They're manifest as well. The work of the Holy Spirit convicting us, convincing us of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. And the Spirit of God convincing us when we fall away and get backslidden and get cold and indifferent, the work of the Spirit of God. So the condition of being backslidden when you and I are at that place is described this way. It's a condition where the things of God are not the most important things in our life. That I'm backslidden when the things of God become not the most important thing in my life. I'm backslidden. And I've been there. You've been there. Where something takes preeminence and predominance in our life to where that the things of God, the Word of God, prayer, church, witnessing, testimony, all those things are really back burner items to you for a period of time, and that's what the Scripture describes as backslidden. Now, it's not easy for us to accept that, but that's what it is. A condition where the things of God are not the most important things to us. It's where your relationship with God is more of a, it becomes more of a, what's convenient than what is conviction. So if it's convenient, I'll do it. If it's not, I'm going to let it slip, let it slide. The religion of convenience, the faith of convenience, when it fits into my schedule, And when that's the case, when I look at my walk with the Lord and my service for the Lord that way, from the standpoint of convenience over conviction, then I'm in that condition of being backslidden. It's where pleasure and taking it easy and having a good time become the motive for what we do more than the motive of pleasing God. If that's the motive, to have it easier, to have a good time, to have pleasure, to enjoy life, to do those things that make life pleasurable, there's nothing wrong with that. But when those things become our motive for what we do, rather than the motivation of pleasing God with our lives, then we are in a condition which the Bible describes as backslidden. So what's the case? What happens to a backslider? First of all, we get out of fellowship with God. The fellowship with God is missing. David said something about that in Psalm 32. Look there, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 32, verse 3 and verse 4. He said, when I kept silence, this is David talking about his transgression, his sins, and the period of time where he was out of fellowship with the Lord and he was backslidden. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. And so he's describing that condition of the fellowship, of connection with God, missing. He's not saying he's lost and gone and outside the circle of God's family and not a child of God anymore. He's not saying that. He's saying the fellowship with God is missing, like clouds hiding the sun. He's in that place where for a long time he's not concerned himself with prayer because prayer is totally ineffectual for him. He's praying and finding that he's frustrated, and he's praying and finding that he's not motivated to pray anymore and doesn't even want to pray. And so it seems to him useless, waste of time to pray. And so that's where he's at. He's missing that fellowship with God when a man, a woman, a boy, a young person is backslidden in heart. So he's missing that fellowship. He's then lost the joy of his salvation. David prayed that way. He said, Lord, when he was recovering from his backslidden condition, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't ask him to restore his salvation. He's already saved. He's out of fellowship, backslidden. But he says to him, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Get me back in the place where I can experience the joy again. And a Christian without joy is a sad sight to see, you know. A sad sight to see, a Christian without any joy. And that's what David was saying. Lord, that's what I'm missing. It goes from a joy, what you do for the Lord or what you do in serving the Lord or what you do in your Bible reading or prayer or, you know, church attendance or witnessing or anything that has to do with the things of God at all, volunteering, nursery work, bus work, knocking doors, putting out flyers, inviting people to church, anything that has anything to do at all with something connected to the service of God is no longer a joy to you, but just sort of an obligation. I got to do it. I hope we didn't come to church tonight saying, I just got to come. I'm suspected of me. I got to be there. And I don't want to be there, but I'm obligated to be there, you know. That's a sad place to be when you've lost the joy of serving the Lord, the joy of coming to God's house with God's people. And it's just, you know, I got to do it because it's the right thing to do, and I got to do it. I mean, I'd rather have you do it that way than not do it at all, like many people choose. But it's a wonderful thing when you can do the things of God, when you can serve God, when you can read your Bible, when reading the Scriptures and praying is not a burden to you, not an obligation to you, but it's something you look forward to with joy. You get up early because you want to spend some time in the Word. You long for more from God's Word. It's a wonderful place to be when you have the joy of salvation, and a sad place to be when it's just an obligation that you have to do because you know it's the right thing to do. And like I said, better to do it under obligation than not do it at all, but much better to do it with the joy of the Lord. So the joy of salvation is lost when we're backslidden. The way is an empty way, like Hosea said. If you can find Hosea there, it's in the Minor Prophets. Hosea chapter 10, I think it is. Hosea, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, back in there somewhere. Joel, back in those little guys. Hosea chapter, let's see, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Does that remind you of something else? Reminds us of what we started with, doesn't it? The backslider's heart shall be filled with his own ways. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars and shall spoil their images. How we saw that fulfilled in the nation of Israel as we went through the museums and saw the pagan altars that had been found and reconstructed, and several of them were in the museums. These were altars that were worshipped at by Israelis, by Hebrews. Pagan altars that Hebrews worshipped at that had been destroyed and broken down. In one museum, they had the gold calf, the golden calf, one of the golden calf that was worshipped. It was the thin plates of gold that they'd placed over the image of the calf to represent a golden calf there. And they had that in one of the museums there that we visited there. And you could just see how that God had intervened with that and caused what happened to happen. Now Israel is no longer tempted, it doesn't seem, to worship those kind of idols, those kind of altars. And they have, since the Babylonian captivity, been the people that are monotheistic, that are one, a people of one God. And so they learned that lesson, apparently, after the Babylonian captivity quite well as a nation. But they had experienced that kind of emptiness. And as you can see, an empty vine, the idea of emptiness there, even though they had fruit and they had abundance, they dedicated it all to themselves and to the pursuit of wicked things. And so the way, it's an empty way. Remember what Naomi said? She said, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me in again empty. empty. And she blamed the Lord for it, you know. She said, the Lord's fault that I went out to Moab full and full of blessings, and I came back with little or nothing left. But that's the way of the backslider, that which we have is taken away. The idea of the lottery winner, you know. I heard a report on, they took a report and they surveyed a bunch of lottery winners and followed them over a period of time, and just how many of them, so many, I think the majority probably, ended up blowing everything, losing everything in a short period of time of a few years, and being virtually without anything, being emptied out. So that's the way it is when we're backslidden. We're in that place of just dodging the guilt of our condition, and having the joy of our salvation lost. The third thing that you see when we've backslidden is we don't have the right spirit. You got the wrong spirit. I've got the wrong spirit when I'm backslidden. When you hear the phrase, you know, get your heart right, get right with God, it's talking about your spirit, the spirit being right. You know, when you and I have a bitter spirit, that's a backslider's spirit. When you and I have a bossy or a proud spirit, that's a backslider's spirit. When you and me have a critical and fault-finding spirit, that's the backslider's spirit that is in us, that's manifesting itself out of us. When you and I have a restless and discontented spirit, that is a backslider's spirit. So, you know, we have to face the fact that that's the condition that we're in. If we are of that spirit, we need revival. So David prays that way. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit. Renew in me a right spirit. So that's what we need. We need to, with David, get on our knees and say, God, renew in me a right spirit. The backslider faces the chastening of the Lord, as we read in Hebrews 12. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So the Lord loves you as his child, and so like a good parent, he chastens you and I when we're backslidden, and he gives us the opportunity to get right. The question is asked right after that. He said, what son is he who the father chasteneth not? In other words, what's being called into question there is the relationship there. It does the relationship even exist? If God does not chasten me, it would indicate to me to take a real examination of whether I'm saved or not. I need to know. If I never receive chastening for my condition and being backslidden out of fellowship with the Lord, away from God, if I don't see chastening in my life, I need to really go back to examining whether or not I'm really even saved. So that's what he's talking about there. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Look at Psalm 89. That's an easy one to find. Psalm 89, we're almost to the Master Club, but I don't see the door yet. So somebody give me a yahoo if you hear them coming, if you hear the troops are coming. Psalm 89, verse 30 through verse 33. Psalm 89, verse 30 through verse 33. Here, again, we see the issue of this chastisement address. Psalm 89, verse 30. And if his children, it's talking about David's children, if his children, as far as his offspring, his heritage, in other words, the children of God, the people of God, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. He said, I'm not going to go back on my covenant. I'm not going to break my promise to save them and take them to heaven. I'm not going to break my covenant with them as my child, but I am going to chasten them. I want to chasten them when they're away from the Lord. Now, Hebrews 12, he says, look, no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's a grievous thing to be chastened, you know. He said, nevertheless, the result is, he said, afterwards, the chastening yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So that's what we want. We want the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He says it's yielded unto them that are exercised thereby, or under them that are under the discipline of God's chastening. It's what's yielded out of that. What comes out of that is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We get right with God. God brings us peace again. It fills us with joy again. Gives us purpose in life again. Gets us back on track where we need to be. Catches us back up to the place where we're supposed to be in the walk with the Lord, and on we go. So the backslider faces that. And the last thing is the sad loss of rewards. In 1 Corinthians, we remember reading about the judgment seat of Christ, where the works of our life will be put through the fires and will come forth gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble, and which will be burned up in the fire and will come forth gold, silver, precious stone. He said that those things that are done, you know, for the glory of self and so on, those things that are done, those actions that are taken in our condition of the backslider, he said those are the things that we're going to see will suffer loss. We will suffer loss in the rewards. Every reward we gain can be lost, you know, and so that can happen. So the warning goes, see that you lose not those things which ye have earned and worked for. Look to yourselves, he says in 2 John 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And so the idea of look to yourselves is be careful, look out, pay attention, and watch it, take heed, because it is possible to lose what you once gained in the area of rewards. We don't want that. We want our heavenly bank account to have something in it when we come to need to spending it, you know. And so we want that to be constantly having deposits and not withdrawals on it, you know. That's what we want. We have experienced enough of those withdrawals in this worldly banking system and the way the world's finances work. We don't want that to happen in our heavenly rewards. We want there always to be increasing the blessing and the benefits in our heavenly account, so to speak. So he says, look to yourselves, be careful, and keep on track, keep where you need to be. We conclude with Hosea. I don't see that the Master Club are coming in tonight. Maybe they, they're on their way? They're there? Okay, they're coming. Okay, good. We got time enough for one more. Hosea 14, I conclude with that. Hosea 14 gives us the good news, and that we have the opportunity to return. Hosea chapter 14, and the first verse. Hosea 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord. May we say, O Christian, O child of God, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. The thing that caused the trouble in your life is the sin of our life, the backsliding. Take with you the words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously so that we will render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. So you have the return, the recognition of sinfulness, and the recommitment there in verse 2, and then the restoration that you see in verse 4. What a blessing it is that the backslidden condition can be easily and readily and quickly remedied. Are they here? They're on their way in. So, all right, there's open the doors there, Brother Greg, there, and we'll let them know.